All right, good evening again, and welcome to our last of our really four-part series on the sower. The first one we did a little while back on the wheat and tare, and then we did one on the sower himself. The last one we did was on the soil of the mind and the three types of bad soil. So tonight, we're going to be addressing the secret to good soil, the secret to good soil. I'm going to read our scripture reading, same as for our last message, Romans 12, 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A message tonight, the sower. The secret to good soil. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word even further. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, and enlighten us and fill us, Lord. Lead us into all truth. Make me a nail on the wall, Lord. Hang a picture of Christ there that I be not seen or heard. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. All right, so we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read through the parable again. Matthew 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So we talked about the three not good forms of soil in the last message. When we get to the good ground, Matthew says it brought forth 100, some 60, some 30-fold. And so Jesus here begins to explain. And in Mark chapter 4, he says it the other way. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. And he goes in the opposite direction, some 30, some 60, some 100. I don't think it matters which directions you go, except to understand that the purpose of the Christian walk is to bear fruit, good fruit. That's why the seed, the word is shown as seed. That's why the mind is like the soil, and the sower is Christ. He wants us to produce fruit, and that fruit, as we'll see later on, represents having the character of Christ. Here's what the SDA Bible commentary says, so that we clarify when we're talking about good ground what we really mean. This does not mean that the heart of man is naturally good before the seeds of divine truth have made it so. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. In man, there naturally dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7:18. So the soil isn't good because somehow you're good. That's not the reasoning. If you start thinking like that, you wind up like the stony ground here where self undergirds the soil and the word can never take full root. Look at what the SDA Bible commentary continues and it says. The good ground is good simply because it yields to the plowshare of truth, because it responds to the softening influence of the Holy Spirit. Good ground is good because it does not resist the work of the Holy Spirit. It does not push back when the plowshare of the truth comes into contact with the soil of the mind. That's the Bible commentary commenting on the statement, brought forth fruit, says this. This refers to the fruit of character. See Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit manifested in the outward life is evidence of a healthy Christian experience. In the hearts of the wayside hearers, the truth found no response. With the stony ground hearers, truth produced nothing more than a momentary impulse. With the thorny ground hearers, it was a response that began well but withered in the face of difficulty and opposition. But in the hearts of the good ground hearers, the response is permanent and effective. The result is a life transformed according to the pattern of the perfect life of Jesus Christ. The successful Christian is not a creature of circumstances. He perseveres to the end, like it says in Matthew 24 and verse 13. You will not be saved by accident. You're not going to have the character of Christ by some coincidence. It is an intentional thing that we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit and that it soften the soil of our minds. So how do you get good ground? A mind receptive to the Word of God. Well, there's three things that I put here. Number one, character is the fruit of the Spirit. First thing you got to realize, recognize, and accept. There are a lot of people who say, listen, you can once you're saved, you're always saved. So if you come in, you say you love Jesus, you can go back and have the same character, be the same person, behave the same way. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Number two, good ground is softened by trials. Some of the difficulties we go through in life are what softens the mind. Number three, consistency and perseverance are nutrients. So you want to persevere. Jesus says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The good ground is a mind that perseveres. Number one, again, the fruit of the Spirit is character. So let's read about the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. We can make the contrast and then look at what really the purpose of this Christian walk is in terms of character development. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. We talked about spiritualism last time. Hatred, variance, emulsions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can't just say, well, listen, you can just behave any way you want. As I said in the last message, it's do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. You can't just do what you want and expect to be saved. The Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you do not gain victory over the works of the flesh. That's drunkenness, murders, fornication, envy. All of these things. In contrast, this is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So people, if somebody's been in the church 30 years and they can't love the person sitting next to them, in the pew, somebody takes their seat in church where their family always sits and they're ready to give them a piece of their mind and go off on them, it's hard to say that they've gotten the fruit. Jesus says, by their fruits you will know them. He says not to judge. I'm not going to tell you where you're going to wind up, but by their fruits you shall know them. Someone who is consistently not kind, not gentle, not good to people, shows a lack of faith, these, no meekness, intemperate, these things show that they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to show you that the way that that phrase is important, it's not the fruits plural, but the fruit singular. We'll talk more about that in a second. Galatians 5 and verse 24 says this, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is how Paul finishes talking to the church of the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The old man is dead. You can't tell me people are going to be saved when the old man is still alive. If we live in the Spirit, we are supposed to walk in it. Don't be desirous of vainglory. There are a lot of ministries that are going to be ruined because ego rules. They think they're the center of the preaching universe or the singing universe. Vainglory. That's not consistent with good fruit. Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary says it like this, speaking to these verses. It says, fruit of the Spirit, that which naturally develops in the life when the Spirit has control. I like that. It naturally develops. right? A mango tree does not produce mangoes to prove it's a mango tree. It makes mangoes because it's a mango tree. The Christian doesn't behave well to prove he's a Christian. He behaves well because he's a Christian. The results of such control, continuing in the Bible commentary, the results of such control stand in marked contrast with the works of the flesh, which is found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The fruit of the Spirit is not the natural product of human nature, but of a power wholly outside of man. We are incapable of producing good fruit on our own. Attention may be called to the fact that the word fruit is in the singular. I mentioned this earlier. Look at what the Bible commentary says. Whereas the word works in verse 19 of Galatians 5 is plural. But there is but one fruit of the Spirit, and that one fruit includes all the Christian graces enumerated in verses 22 and 23. You do not have the fruit of the Spirit if you have all of them but kindness. You can't be snapping and mean and yelling at folk, telling them off, and say you got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got to have all of them. In other words, all of these graces are to be present in the life of the Christian. And it cannot be said that he is bearing the fruit of the Spirit if anyone is missing. And on the other hand, there are many different forms in which evil may be manifest, when may manifest itself, and it is necessary for only one of the evil traits listed in verse 19 through 21 to be present in the life for a man to be classified with those who produce the works of the flesh. The commentary continues, it takes all the Christian graces to make a man a true follower of Christ, but only one of the works of the flesh to make a man a follower of the evil one. It is so important to recognize that the good ground speaks to good character and a desire to have the character of Christ. This is why I say all the time, Spirit of Prophecy says, Ellen White says, by beholding we become changed. That's why I always quote the old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It takes all the Christian graces. We've got to look to Christ. So you got to study your word. An hour a day, think about what happened on the cross so that your heart and your desires are always drawn to him so that you be more like him. If you're looking down at your sin, if you're looking down at your faults, if you're looking down at your failures, you'll never gain victory. Victory comes by beholding Jesus crucified and resurrected, high and lifted up. Testimonies, volume 5, page 348 says it like this. If our works are of such a character that as branches of the living vine, we bear rich clusters of precious fruit, then we bear before the world God's own badge as his sons and daughters. We are living epistles known and read of all men. This is the way we should be at work, at school, in our neighborhood. She says in letter 31A from 1894, the work of the Holy Spirit is to fashion the man after Christ's likeness. The man is not to use the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is to use the man. And there are some who, you go to their church and they're speaking in tongues and they're running around in circles and, you know, they're controlling the Holy Spirit. Benny Hinn would do stuff where he, you know, shoot his hand out and people go flying across the room. They're trying to use the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you, the Holy Spirit can't be used. That's some other spirit at work. Because the Holy Spirit uses the man, transforms the man to be more like Christ. That's why we've got to pray more and more for the Holy Spirit. The second secret to good soil is that the good ground is softened by trials. The good ground is softened by trials. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus himself speaking in Revelation 3, 19 says that if he loves you, you're going to go through some stuff. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to be zealous. He wants you to be energized and motivated and repent. When trials come into your life, do not think that God has turned from you many times. It is the trials that says God has turned to you because he's looking to perfect your character. Read the story of Job or the three Hebrew boys or of Daniel in the lion's den. You can look through all the Bible and all the trials that the people of God go through and how every time they go through these trials, they are drawn closer to God. James 1, 2 and 3 says it like this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And you know what Revelation says? Here is the patience of the saints. You've got to go through something to gain that patience. Where the scripture says, speaking of this whole topic today, and about being people who persevere and endure, as we're going to talk about in the next section, that happens because you become patient, because you wait on God. A just man might fall seven times, but he gets up every single time. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore I take pleasure, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It's through the weakness, the challenges that actually strengthen us to be more like Christ. It's like when you lift weights. When you lift weights, you do micro tears in your muscles. And you're doing bench press and you rip little tiny cuts into your pectoralis muscles. And the muscle separates like this. I should get a slide or a diagram of this. The muscle separates like this. But God didn't design your muscle to go back together. What God does is the hole that is made when you shred, that's why you literally shred yourself when you lift weights, the shredding, as the muscle comes apart, new muscle fills in the space where the tear has happened so that the next time you go to lift weights, you have more muscle than you had the last time so that you can more easily lift the weight. The same thing happens spiritually with faith. As our faith is tried, it might get torn. You might get shaken. You might go through some stuff. But if you allow God, he will build back up your faith, filling in where there were holes with more faith so that you're stronger for the next trial. Ellen White says in Christ Object Lesson, page 61, through conflict, the spiritual life is strengthened. Trials well borne will develop steadfastness of character and precious spiritual graces. The perfect fruit of faith, meekness, and love often matures best amid storm clouds and darkness. God, we develop best sometimes. She says, the Lord permits trials in order that we may be cleansed from earthliness, from selfishness, from harsh, unchristlike traits of character. He suffers the deep waters of affliction to go over our souls in order that we may know him and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, in order that we may have deep heart longings to be cleansed from defilement and may come forth from the trial purer, holier, and happier. Often we enter the furnace of trial with our souls darkened with selfishness, but if patient under the crucial test, we shall come forth reflecting the divine character. If he sees fit to cut off our usefulness in some line, we mourn, not stopping to think that thus God may be working for our good. So we lose something and we worry. Maybe God has cut us off. Somebody texted me on my way here to record this. And I'd been praying for them because they had been unjustly treated on their job. They lost a really good job out on the West Coast. And they let me know that God, that they had gone through all this trial, but God had blessed them and they got a job, a better job with better, much better pay after they'd gone through that fire. But that fire caused them to stop and focus on God. So actually the apostles, page 481 says, we need to learn that chastisement is a part of his great plan. And then under the rod of affliction, the Christian may sometimes do more for the master than when engaged in active service. Sometimes it's the trial, it's the difficulty we go through that actually allows us to do more for Christ. And I've referred to some of the things I've been through. I went through losing two jobs, resigned from one, offer rescinded for the second one because of what I believe. And I tell us, if you hear me say the full testimony, I always start by saying there was work that God needed to do in me. That's why he allowed these trials. Maybe many others will be blessed by it. Maybe many others will benefit from what I went through. But it was the trial that I needed so that I would be humbled and my focus would go back to eternity and not on this world. God allowed me to go through that fire. But in that process, God was able to do a lot. I remember this is from Channel 2 News in Atlanta, Georgia. When I was hired by the state of Georgia, and these activists were coming after me. This is what they put: controversial hiring. They put, Dr. Walsh has been offered the position of district public health director within the North Georgia Health District, contingent upon the results of a background and credentials investigation. And so they went through and they made sure to keep me out. I went through some scathing things. The whole testimony is on Audioverse, or you can go to North England Conference there on their website, their youth page, YouTube page. You can find it in the UK. But when I went through that stuff, it was painful. There were times I was lying on my face, and it was like a weight was sitting on my back. I was crying out to God as the world turned against me, as the news media has turned against me. Newspapers were writing articles against me. I was a pariah. I could feel the weight on me as I laid on my face, calling out to God. And I remember when that thing would lift sometimes, that weight felt like it lifted. And I remember, if you heard my testimony, you heard me say this, I would call out to God. I'd say, Lord, what happened? God would say, somebody's praying for you. Let me tell you something, church, you'll go through these trials, but we've got to pray for each other. Because by going through these trials, one, we get a chance to lift God up. These people who came after me, they must have listened to dozens of my sermons. So on Judgment Day, they will be without an excuse. It allowed a lot of people to see that we live in a time when you better be serious about what you believe, because if you don't believe it based on scripture, and if you're not really convinced of it, you're not going to stand firm. I remember someone calling me, someone I used to work with in the city that didn't work for the city out in the West Coast where I worked, calling me and one of the NGOs, and we did some work in the community, and he said, listen, I can get you your job back. Basically, he said, listen, if you just go to this one church, we'll bring the media and we'll film. And basically, he was saying, if you just recant what you believe, we can get you to keep your job. I said, I can't do that. I would rather shovel dung in the streets of Los Angeles. God has been too good to me. I've got to be rooted in something deeper than career and prestige, fame. I've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And I've got to remember what God has done for me so that I stand firm for Him. In fact, God came to my rescue. This is from Fox and Friends. I went on there. You can see from the picture, I didn't really want to be there because I didn't. But we argued our case. And God blessed. I won't say the whole thing, but I will tell you that going through trial softened the soil of my mind. I love God's word, and I know Christ so much better because of what I went through. If you're going through something right now, I challenge you to say to God, allow this trial to soften my heart and mind so that I'd be more receptive to your word and your will, so that I'd be more like you. Teach me in this trial, Jesus, what it is I need to learn, and allow this trial to remove from me that which is not like Christ. The third type of soil, the third secret to good soil, I should say, is to remember that consistency and perseverance are nutrients. Any soil, if you don't grow something, the soil has to have a certain amount of nitrous materials. It's got to have certain minerals and pH levels and all this kind of stuff. The soil of the mind, you must try to be as consistent as possible, and you must persevere. Matthew 24 and verse 13 highlights that. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 308. None of us should be content with our present spiritual attainments. Did you hear that? None of us should be content with our present spiritual attainments. No one is living up to his opportunities unless he can show continual progress. If you think you've arrived, you failed already in the spiritual walk. He must be climbing, still climbing. It is the privilege of every Christian to grow up until he shall reach the full stature of a man or woman in Jesus Christ. Every day you should be drawing closer to him. Every day you should be moving towards God, consistently, persevering. This church will never prosper. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 308 again. This church will never prosper until the members commence the work of reform in their own hearts. Many who profess the faith are easily satisfied. If they come up to a few points of self-denial and reform, they do not see the necessity of going further. And I've heard people say this, man, I'm an Adventist. You know, I gave up this and I gave up that. I don't drink. I don't do that. You know, as if that means you've arrived. You can be a sober sinner and not make it into heaven. Why is there such a resting on the lees? There's no halting place for us this side of heaven. On the road to heaven, there's no rest stops, no pit stops. You don't get to stop. You've got to constantly be moving towards Christ. The Word of God often comes in collision with man's hereditary and cultivated traits of character and his habits of life. But the good ground here in receiving the Word accepts all its conditions and requirements. The good ground here, when you hear the Word, you accept its requirements and its conditions. And this is why a lot of people are going to be lost. When they read the Word and they see something in it that they don't like, they question the Word or they turn from it. You're good ground when you say, you know what? All I need is a thus saith the Lord. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Christ Object Lesson, page 60 again, it says, in his view, the commands of finite erring man sink into insignificance beside the word of the infinite God. With a whole heart, with undivided purpose, he is seeking the life eternal, and at the cost of loss, persecution, or death itself, he will obey the truth. I hope you got that, church. No pope, no president, no chancellor, no military leader, no superstar Grammy Award winner can trump what the Bible says. Erring man sinks into insignificance beside the word of the infinite God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have a good ground, be a good ground here, you've got to go at the word of God and say, Lord, humble me that I might do your will. What I read in these pages, Lord, I will follow. Christ Object Lesson, page 60. She finishes her comments on this by saying, the good ground hearers, having heard the word, keep it. Satan, with all his agencies of evil, is not able to catch it away. The good ground hearers, having heard the word, keep it. Satan, with all his agencies of evil, is not able to catch it away. Church, what are some of the secrets to good soil? To have good soil, you've got to follow all these things. You've got to remember the fruit of the Spirit is character. You see, you won't have good ground if you think all you've got to do is have an intellectual acceptance of the Word of God or of truth. It's got to transform you so that your character looks like the character of Christ. The other thing, of course, that it does is that you've got to remember, the second one we said, is that the good ground is softened by trials. You may be going through something, and you got to understand that the difficulties and trials that you're going through are all a part of God's plan for you. And I know that's not pleasant. In fact, it can turn some folk away, but when you're going through trial, call on the name of God and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? If in your trial and difficulty you refuse to learn the lesson God is trying to teach, you will stay in that trial longer than you needed to. And as a Christian, you must be consistent, persevere. The race is not to the strong and to the swift, but to he that endures to the end. You've got to make up in your mind now that no matter what happens, I'm following Jesus all the way. When that guy called me and told me, listen, we can get you your job back. The enemy wanted it, was whispering in my ear to remember the prestige and the fame and all the accolades I would get, I got at that job, all the reasons, all the things I liked about it. And I was weighing in my mind, you know, maybe, the devil would want to tell you, maybe there's a way you could figure out to keep the job. But let me tell you something. You can't even entertain those thoughts. You see, good soil, and I'd already been through that, started being through that trial. It softened my heart and my mind. But good soil realizes that the purpose of life is to bear good fruit. It's not to be famous on American Idol or win a Grammy or an Oscar. It's not to have the most money, the best house and cars, not even to have the best looking spouse. The purpose of this Christian walk is to bear fruit, to be living epistles as we read, so that every day our lives testify that Jesus is right in the great controversy. That there are those who can and will serve him. And by doing so, those around us will see Jesus in us. Because we bear the fruit of the Spirit, they will see it. And we'll be able to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And many will be won to him. Stand up for Jesus, ye servants of the cross. Do not allow the world to make your soil corrupted. Serve him all the way, and he that has begun a good thing in you will see it through to its completion. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word again. Lord, we pray that we now would do what is needed to have good soil, that our minds would be softened, rich with the nutrients of perseverance and consistency. The plowshare of the Holy Spirit under the edge of trial and difficulty would soften and break up the hardened ground. And that, Father God, we would understand that our character is what we'll take into the next life. So, Lord, we would be humble and teachable to be more like Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.